when it is possible. I came in tonight and I said to Larry, I'm preaching tonight on the subject, the cock crew twice. Do you have any rooster songs? He said, no, I'll just crow. Well, I'm glad he didn't do that, but we do appreciate the way that he led the singing tonight. And Gary's gone. We have others that do a good job, and we appreciate the participation of each of these in our services. We are studying tonight on the subject, the cock crew twice. If you have your Bible, you might like to turn to Mark 14. Mark records at least one detail in this story that is not recorded in Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke, Jesus simply said, or is recorded as saying, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And in Mark's account, Mark includes evidently what would be more details. And what happened that possibly Peter did not hear with the first crowing, and uses the word twice. Beginning at verse 29 of Mark 14, Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. The next few verses record the scene of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Notice at verse 37 that it says, when he cometh, when Jesus is returning back to some of the apostles, findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye come into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Went and prayed again, and notice in verse 40, he came and he found them asleep again. Verse 41 says he cometh the third time and talks to them. It doesn't say for sure whether they were asleep at that time, but at least he gives them the instruction to rise up in verse 42, which would indicate that even the third time when Jesus came, he found them asleep again. Down through the next few verses, the description is given of some of the details of his betrayal. We pick up again at verse 53, and they led Jesus away to the high priest. With him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. The next few verses give us a little bit more about the details of the trial of Jesus. And now down to verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Notice particularly the first few words of that last verse of that chapter, and the second time the cock crew. Let's make a few observations tonight from this passage by just simply looking at the passage itself and seeing what happened and applying those principles to our situations today. In the first place, notice that Peter was definitely warned about what could happen to him. Jesus said, Peter, Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. Peter said just before that statement, Lord, everybody else may leave you, but I won't. Just after that again, he emphasized, not me, Lord. I'll be right there with you to the end. I'll stand by you no matter what else comes. Jesus said, Peter, you need to realize that you can fall. In fact, not only did he say that, but he predicted what would happen. And he said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. Later on in the garden, Jesus came back to the apostles. He found them asleep. And again, he gave a warning, particularly mentioning Simon. And this may have been because of what Simon Peter had said before. Because of the, perhaps we might say, overconfidence that Peter had, that Jesus addressed him. And he said, Simon, are you asleep? Surely you could watch with me for just 1 hour. And then he gives him a warning again. He says, watch ye and pray, lest ye come into temptation. Peter received ample warning about what could happen to him, about the idea of falling away, about the idea of turning his back on Jesus. He was warned that it could happen. Now think about that idea and let's apply it today. Alien sinners are warned about what can happen, about taking chances. Now it is possible for them to become hardened and to go farther and farther away from Jesus instead of in his direction. Jesus said, for example, in John 8:24, except ye believe that I am he. Perhaps a better translation would be, except ye believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins. And he had taught just 3 verses prior to that, that if you die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. Jesus gave warning again and again as to what could happen. Paul indicates the problem of those who are outside of Christ in Ephesians 2, verse 12, when he says, without Christ and without God, without the promises, describing their previous set of circumstances before they were made nigh in Jesus Christ, described in verse 13. He warned about what can happen, how that one can turn his back on Jesus and go farther and farther away from the idea of obeying the gospel. Warning is given about the punishment that will come to those that obey not the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. 1 Peter 4:16 through 18. In the same sense that the apostle Peter was warned that he could fall into temptation, the alien sinner is warned that he can stay in sin and can continue to listen to the temptations that are there to keep him away from Jesus. And in addition to that, Christians are warned about what can happen. Maybe sometimes we today develop the same attitude that Peter had. I'll never leave thee. I'll never turn my back upon Jesus. And yet we have the warning given, for example, in 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The admonition given in Hebrews 4 and verse 11, let us labor to enter into that rest. The teaching given in Galatians 5 and verse 4 that some had fallen from grace, forever answering the question of whether or not one can. Passages like 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 that warn us about how we can, after having escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be entangled again therein and overcome to the extent that the latter end is worse than the beginning. In the same sense that the Apostle Peter was warned, you and I are given ample warning throughout the Word of God as to what can happen. Judy's father was a gospel preacher, one of the finest men that I ever knew, a man who in many ways was a self-taught man. When he died in 1960, he was killed in an automobile accident in 1960, he left his books and his materials to where I had the opportunity to have them and to go through them. I found a list that he had compiled over the years that had over 40 scriptures on one sheet of paper, either giving a scripture showing that a child of God can sin and be lost, or giving the child of God an admonition to work and to labor to enter into that rest of heaven. Over the years, I've added a few more to that, to where I have a list now of almost 50 scriptures, most of them in the New Testament, that either show that one can turn his back on God or that he must labor in order to enter heaven. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject and says to us the same thing that Jesus was saying to Peter. You need to watch. You need to be careful. It is true that Jesus will never leave us, but the Bible gives us ample proof again and again that it is possible for us to become overconfident, and mixing that with other factors that are involved, allow ourselves to fall away from Jesus Christ. Peter was given the warning, and you and I have been given the warning. A second observation that comes from this passage that you and I need to consider tonight is that Peter, having been warned of what could happen, allowed himself to take some chances that he should not have taken, and to allow himself to be in some sets of circumstances that were not the best. He had been warned again and again as to what could happen, but look back at verse 37 beginning, and we find that he was asleep. He was taking the chance of sleeping instead of watching when he should have been watching. Then come down to verse 54. You begin to see where Peter was and some of the things that were involved in the chances that he was taking. Peter had the attitude that he could just sleep, that it wouldn't matter, that maybe Jesus would take care of everything, that everything would be all right, even on an occasion like this. Sometimes you and I may allow ourselves to sleep, at least figuratively speaking, when it comes to looking at the spiritual relationship that we're to have with God and with Christ. You remember that 5 of the 10 virgins slept. They were asleep on the watch, so to speak. And when the bridegroom came, he went in and shut the door, and they were not ready to go because they were asleep. We're taught throughout the Bible to watch, to be alert. 1 Corinthians 16:13, for example, simply says, watch ye. 1 Peter 5:8 says that we're to watch the devil. Be sober, be watchful, or be vigilant. For your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And yet sometimes we allow ourselves to be brainwashed into accepting that same attitude that Peter had. Oh, I'll be all right. I'm strong. I can get out here close. I can sleep while things are going on. I don't really have to watch while other people do. And one of the ways that we may very well let this apply in our lives is that as we grow older, we sometimes tend to study less and to pray less, resting on the laurels of the past, sort of going to sleep with what we have and saying to ourselves, well, I've studied the Bible. I know these things. I'm ready to defend the truth. I'm ready to contend for the faith. And so I can sit down and I can sort of take it easy now and not really put my shoulders to the task like I used to have to do or formerly had to do in previous years. Having been warned, Peter could sleep. And having been warned, sometimes you and I can sleep. And along with that, as mentioned in these verses that we've referred to twice already, along about verse 54 and some of the verses before and after, look at the chances that Peter took at the time that Jesus was being tried. He followed afar off in verse 54. That's not close enough to Christ, even in a time of trial. He followed afar off. And then he went into the palace of the high priest. Instead of being as close and seeing how close he could get to Jesus to defend him and to be there with him, he went in and sat with the servants. And he warmed himself by their fire. Someone has suggested, and I think rightly so, that in a sense Peter was warming himself by the devil's fire, or at least by the enemy's fire. You remember the passages where we're told to avoid and to shun the very appearance of evil? How we're told to watch ourselves and to be careful about how we allow ourselves to come close to sin and be involved in that? With the warning of 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good morals, or even companionship corrupt good morals or good manners. In the day and time in which you and I live, these principles apply so much. We may allow ourselves to follow afar off and really not be as close to Jesus as we should be. And at the same time, allow ourselves to associate with people who are not what they should be. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't associate with people to teach them the truth. Certainly we should. But I'm talking about associating with them in life, with those who would tend to take us away from Christ and take us into areas that conflict with that for which Christ died. And sometimes it's possible that we may warm ourselves by the enemy's fire instead of spending our time in defending Christ and being on his side. I read a story back several years ago. It was talking about an opening for a truck driver. And there were those who applied for this job, and after they had taken the written test, the owner of the company said, "I want to give you a test of driving, but before we go out to drive, I want to suggest this hypothetical situation and see how you would answer it. You're driving this 18-wheeler and on a mountainous road, and you're going around a curve, and there just barely is enough room for you to get around that curve. How could you do? What kind of driver would you be?" First man said, "I can drive that truck around that curve, and I can get half of that outside wheel off the edge and never go over." The second man said, "I can beat that. I can drive that truck around that curve, and I can get all of that outside wheel off, and as long as I can keep most of that inside wheel on, I can drive that truck around and never go over." The third man hesitated just a little bit, and then he looked up and he said, "Sir, I don't know how close I can get to the edge, but I know how far away from it I can try to stay." That man got the job. In the day and time in which you and I are living, with all the temptations that we have, with all the warnings that we've been given, like Peter was given, we need to be like that third man and try to stay away from that edge instead of seeing how close we can get to it. Peter was an outstanding man, but he denied Jesus Christ under the set of circumstances before us. He took too many chances. And in those situations, denied Jesus three times. But notice, and here is the emphasis that we want to place tonight, or where we want to place it. The Bible in Mark says that the cock crew twice. Evidently, Peter did not hear the first crowing of the cock. It just simply states that the cock crew, and then it goes on into the story of what was developing. And that may be one of the reasons that Matthew and Luke do not record this particular statement, that they were recording facts from a different standpoint as they looked at this same story. But Mark records the statement, just simply says, "the cock crew." That's the first time. Either Peter did not hear it, or he heard it and ignored it. I tend to believe that he did not really hear it. But whichever of those is true, here was a warning given to him on this occasion of the crowing of the cock, and he paid no attention to it. He either didn't hear it, or he ignored it. Agrippa was taught the truth. As far as we know, he ignored the acceptance of the invitation to become a Christian. Felix was taught the truth, but said, "Go thy way, and when I have a convenient season, I'll send for thee," or "I'll call for thee." So far as we know, that occasion, that convenient season, never came. There is a sense in which Agrippa heard the first crowing of the rooster, which Felix had that first warning at least. And it is even said of Jezebel in Revelation 2 that God gave her space or time to repent, and she repented not. We might even say it appears that there was the first crowing of the rooster even in that case, the first warning to try to get somebody to do something about the situation. But Peter didn't hear it. And he went on again to deny the Lord, and again to even curse and swear and say, "I don't even know him," even after the cock should have been heard one time. But then the beauty of the lesson with Peter is in the last verse of the chapter. The second time the cock crew, and Peter heard it. There is an indication with one of the other writers that between the first crowing and the second crowing, Jesus looked at Peter. Evidently didn't say anything, but looked at him. And it could be that it was that look that reminded Peter of what had been said and of the warning that had been given. I couldn't prove that beyond a doubt, but it could be that that had something to do with it. Whatever it was, something changed the situation so that when this rooster crew the second time, Peter heard it. And he remembered the words that Jesus had spoken. And he went out and wept. And not many days later, that same Apostle Peter, same man who's called Simon Peter here, who denied the Lord, said, I don't know him, I'm not with him, I have nothing to do with him. That same man stood up on Pentecost and preached the gospel sermon that brought 3,000 to Christ. And that same man again and again stood up and proclaimed the word of God. And so far as we know, was put to death for his preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know why Peter was able to do that? It's because he listened. He listened the second time that the cock crew. Did you notice one of the statements that we used in our prayer a few minutes ago? Gary didn't know the theme of the lesson tonight, but he used a statement as he led us in the prayer tonight that just really says what I'm trying to get across. We prayed, as Gary led us, that God would not come until the end of this service so that those who needed to make a change in their lives could do so before it was too late. That's the theme of the lesson that we're presenting tonight. That something happened, that we awaken and listen to the warning before it's too late. Peter didn't listen to the first time. But in his case, God gave him a second time. And when the cock crew twice, although Peter had just denied Jesus three times and had even cursed and sworn in doing that, when it crew that second time, Peter listened. He sort of came back to himself and put things together again, went from that point to serve the living God. Folks, I honestly believe that in the case of those of us that are gathered here tonight, there has already been the first crowing of the cock. Some of us haven't heard it. Some of us may have heard it and ignored it, and may be continuing, not necessarily in the same specific line of sin as was Peter, but continuing in our denial of Jesus Christ by failing to become his child or failing to become his faithful child in his service. And I say to you tonight that there may be a sense in which this appeal to you and this invitation that shall come from our Lord is a second crowing of the cock. It could be the second warning. It could be the second appeal. It could be the last appeal. Peter listened. Will you listen? And if the need be, make a change and turn in the direction of Christ. And perhaps with a sense of weeping in your heart, but also a sense of joy in your heart for what Christ has made possible, listen to that second warning and come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?